Mount Calvary Baptist Church in Charleston, West Virginia welcomes you to our weekly time of worship and study of God's Word with Pastor Jesse Wagoner. So sit back, relax, and get comfortable, because when you're here, you're home.
We live, oftentimes, drowning in a sea of shallowness. We're leaving out in our mind and our thinking and our decision-making a whole nother level of reality, the spiritual reality, what God says to us, those things that cannot be detected by our eyes and our ears and our own senses, but instead are dependent upon our living by faith in the eternal Word of God. Today we begin a new study in the book of Ephesians, and I'm excited just to go verse by verse and through this book and see the great riches of the spiritual realities and the spiritual responsibilities and the spiritual blessings that God has showered upon us. As we do, He's going to reveal many great things to us, and I hope you'll just enjoy coming along. Today I just want to look at the first three verses of chapter 1 because it's really a fitting introduction for what's going to come later in this book. So look with me at Ephesians chapter 1, beginning in verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus and faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Today I just want to talk to you about the fact that we indeed are greatly blessed. And really, we're just going to do the introduction of the book today, these three verses, but it's going to start unlocking the pattern that you're going to see throughout the book, this pattern of God telling us about these deep spiritual realities. And may God help us not to just skim on the surface of today, not just to bounce over the waves of the ups and downs of our life now, but instead we would be founded, and our stability and our strength would be founded in the reality, in the bedrock reality that He loves us, that He has saved us, and He's guaranteeing us all these blessings. So look with me primarily here at verse 3. He does describe who he's writing, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ. It's directed to Ephesus, and we know from history that probably this letter was passed around to other cities as well, but Ephesus was a center. It was really the bank of that whole region, if you will. It was the banking financial capital, very influential city, and a church had been established there, and now he sends this letter to encourage them and to encourage them to not live on the surface but live beneath the wash of all of God's blessing. He says, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. By the way, this is one of the shortest salutations of the epistles of Paul. It's just very brief, and then he jumps right into it in verse 3. He says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I want you to look at this phrase, and look at your Bible and see it there, where it simply says this, who has, past tense, blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. First of all, I want you just to look with me at the depth of God's blessing. the blessings He has showered upon us. Now, I'll tell you in advance, those blessings will begin to be delineated starting in here in chapter, verse 3, but now in verse 4 and all the way down through about verse 14. He's going to give you the list. But today I want to talk kind of a big picture, and then we will zoom into that list as we go forward in our study at later times. But first of all, he says these are the depths of God's blessing. First of all, he tells us where these blessings come from. This God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ who has blessed us. First of all, understand this. These blessings come directly from God. Now, maybe you received, maybe you're like me, you get a pile of mail today and you kind of sort through it without even opening the envelopes. That obviously is junk mail. That's from a company I don't do business with. Don't know about that one. We'll check that out. And then you pull one out and you see it's from someone that matters to you. Someone that has some importance or some business relationship, or maybe you suspect there's a check in there that someone's going to send me some money, whatever it is. It's interesting how even that outside view pulls us in because of the worth of the sender, the significance we put in the sender. Well, here's the sender. This comes from God Himself, directly from God. These blessings that He has showered upon us, the depth of them is seen in who has sent them. It's come from, it's as if this letter, this book, these things that He's writing about, if these could all be wrapped up in an envelope and the return address could say, from God the Father in heaven. I mean, if we knew that to be true, we would rip that envelope open and we would study it. Well, this is God's love letter to us. This is His delivering His blessings and good news to us. You and I should be excited when we get this message because it comes directly from God. And when we consider the source, what better source of blessing could we have? It comes from God. Now, this is a God who has ability, intent, and wisdom. The fact that He has ability means He can deliver these blessings. If He was just intentional in it and He was benevolent and kind and wise, He knew the right thing to do, He wanted to do the right thing, but didn't have the ability to do it, it wouldn't help us. Or if you take any of the bits out of this triad of ability, intent, and wisdom, He has the ability, but He also intends to deliver. If He just had the ability but didn't want to, well, He has the want to. He also has the wisdom to deliver the right thing. The fact of the matter is the depth that God wants us to live in, to dive into, is to realize that the blessings He's talking about have come directly from God Himself. What great news is that? That God says, from me to you, blessing, here they are. The God who can deliver, the God who wants to deliver, the God who knows what to deliver, has delivered these blessings to you. So that's part of that. And here's the kind of the subtle thing that we'll get to. We'll kind of summarize this as we get toward the end of our message today. But the reality is that God wants us to live and focus upon and rely on the spiritual truths, not just what we see with our senses, but these deep truths that are sometimes below the surface. But these are the things that will carry you through. This is where your stability comes from. But notice also the past tense here. It says, who has blessed us. They've already been delivered. You don't have to wait and say, boy, I need to check my tracking number to see when that blessing from God is about to arrive. Instead, God has already delivered it. It's already yours. It's already ours. What He has promised in this book is already available to us. With that being the case, there's no waiting involved. It's done. It's already there. And in fact, if you look ahead at verse 4 of chapter 1, he talks about before the foundation of the world. I don't want to get too deep into that. I want to save that for next time. But before there was anything, before there's even a world, God had already delivered these blessings to you. So when you consider that they come directly from God, no waiting required, this should just enliven our attention. Wake us up to say, hey, God is delivering something. Excuse me, I almost said that wrong. God has already delivered something good for us, and blessings of the spiritual kind are all around us. Think on these things. Rely on these things. Live within these things. Dispense these realities to others and encourage others in the family of faith and encourage others to come into the family of faith so that they too can be blessed. Now, here's an amazing phrase in this verse, and I hope you're tracking with me. He's blessed us with every spiritual blessing. Let me read that one more time. With every spiritual blessing. Notice, it's not just delivered in part. This is not a partial shipment. It's not that there's more He could give, but He's held it back. Or some has to wait, or something we have to earn, or something we will get. No, He says, He's already, past tense, blessed us with every spiritual blessing. Friends, that should leave us in a state of no disappointment. This is basically the no disappointment clause in a relationship with our Lord. The fact that he says, every spiritual blessing, I give it all to you. In every way that I could possibly bless you spiritually, it's been delivered to you. Here it is. Now you might think, I don't feel like I've received all the blessings that I think I would like and maybe God to deliver. Well, you're thinking on the wrong level. Yes, there are those blessings that come into this world, the physical and the now and the ones that are locked into time. Those are dispensed, and by nature of our living linearly through life, that are dispensed over time. But we're not talking about those physical blessings, although we should give thanks for them and be grateful for them. But he's talking about the spiritual blessings, the reality of who we are in Christ, our relationship with him, what he intends for us to be as we escape the physicality of this life and ultimately step into eternity. We'll experience them in a fuller, greater level, obviously, because we don't have these limitations. But he says, if you're living in the here and now, if you're living in the here and you're living in the now, and not plugged into these greater realities, you're going to miss. That might lead to some disappointment. We really have no reason to ever be disappointed with God, even his physical blessings, as well as, obviously, his spiritual blessings. But when they get to the spiritual blessings, there is no waiting. There's no disappointment. And then look at this phrase. This is important. With every, here's the key word, spiritual blessing. They are not physical. They are spiritual. And I think that's really, in a large measure, what this book is all about and what this study that I intend to take us through this book together is all about. That we would understand that we're not talking about the physical. Now, you think about the physical and the spiritual if you want to put them in contrast. If you sit down at a table and you have a nice meal and you bow your head and you say, Lord, I thank you for this provision and so forth, very proper, we should do it. Jesus did the same. He's our example. But that is a physical blessing. That food that we're going to consume to energize our body and keep us healthy, that is a physical thing. We can touch it. We can taste it. We can handle it. We can smell it. We can see it. So all those things are part of this physical. He says, I'm talking about spiritual blessings, those that aren't in that realm. And the difference is, this food that I receive today, I will consume it and then it's gone. And then tomorrow, I'm going to be hungry again. And I'm dependent, and fortunately we can be dependent and we can trust in this, that I'm dependent on God's faithfulness tomorrow to provide my daily bread for tomorrow. And we should live in this sense of daily trust in the Lord. I'm not denying that. But here's the reality. The spiritual blessings are complete and final and full. There is never the sense of I need more, or never should be the sense I need more, like I will need more food tomorrow. No, it is always in the eternal present. It's in the now. It's here. It's available. It's here. And these are spiritual blessings. The fact that they're spiritual blessings mean that they are ones that are not identifiable just with our senses. Now, sometimes we sense that God's at work spiritually. Someone becomes convinced that they're a sinner and they place their faith in Christ, and we see and we hear their testimony, and we could share our own testimonies of coming to faith in Christ. But and we know that there's a spiritual reality. God has called us. God has convinced us that these things are true. God has brought us into a relationship with him. He's regenerated us. But we don't really see the spiritual dimension. We see the effects of them. The spiritual reality is that God saves sinners who turn to him in repentance, that God calls sinners out of this world and places them into the kingdom of his dear Son. With that in mind, these are spiritual realities. And what he wants us to do is think in terms of these spiritual truths. And again, the list will actually begin next week when we get into verse 4. And they are deep, and they are sometimes baffling to us, and sometimes even they shake our sensibilities. So get ready for that. And I also want to encourage you to read through this book, be familiar with this book, and just can constantly go through it. If you do that throughout this study, it's going to just take you and pull you in. It's going to create a vacuum that's just going to just kind of pull us right into these deep spiritual truths. And God's going to help us with some deep living, especially as we think of these aspects in which we are greatly blessed. So notice he says, spiritual blessings. So they're spiritual, not physical. And then this next phrase, in heavenly places. Now you'll notice if you're looking at most English translations, the word places there is in italics, and that's always there actually to tell us that word is supplied. In other words, the original language leaves something that's sort of understood, and that's the understood word put in there. Literally, it would say in the heavenlies, in the heavenlies. Now, this phrase in the heavenlies or in the heavenly places appears 5 times here in the book of Ephesians and appears nowhere else in the New Testament. So this is a unique phrase of Paul in all the course of Scripture, and it's a unique phrase of Paul used only in this letter. And it kind of really pulls us to these spiritual truths, these spiritual blessings. They are located in the heavenly places. It's interesting that when you think about this, this verse tells us the when in eternity past. With what did he bless us? With every spiritual blessing. Where does this come from? Where does this have its center? In the heavenly places. How is it done? That's the end of the verse. It's done in Christ, what God has accomplished for us in Christ. So these are heavenly things. It's associated with the heavenly places. Go back to our little illustration we gave you a little bit ago of a letter coming. And I talked about comes directly from God. This book does. If we get a letter that comes directly from somebody that's meaningful to us, we'd be more apt to open it and get into the message that it contains. Also, the return address also should get our attention. Oh, this comes from across the street. This comes from my hometown. This comes from some place of power. This comes from someone significant. That's an important address. Well, this love letter from God to you comes from God Himself, and its return postmark says heaven, the center of all things, the source of all authority, the place of all glory, the place from which God dwells in just amazing power and prestige and majesty and glory. This message, these blessings that he's talking about here, have come directly from, as it says, in the heavenly places. You know, that should almost cause us to have a little shiver go through us, that this is a message from God delivered from heaven by Jesus. Wake up. Wake up. And that's part of the reason he begins this letter with these words. Wake up. Stop worrying about the here and now. Trust God in that stuff. Trust God for the needs of your body and the situation and the environment and our society and all the things that trouble us. Yeah, trust God for those things, but live a little deeper. Think a little deeper. Pray a little deeper. Study a little deeper. Get into these blessings that God has delivered in the spiritual realm. And he's not withheld any of them. Okay, when it comes directly from God, no waiting is required. It's the here, it's already done. Nothing is held back. Every spiritual blessing, they are spiritual blessings, not physical, and they have come from heaven. Now, there's one more thing we could say, the fact that they come from heaven and they are in Christ, and it's simply this, these are eternal. These are eternal because he is eternal. And again, verse 4 talks about an eternity past, and we'll go into eternity future. As chapter 2 is going to talk about in the ages to come. In verse 4 of chapter 1, he talks about in before the foundation of the world. From eternity past to eternity future, these things are delivered to us and they are eternal. They don't change. Most things that you and I worry about and think about and value are temporary. And by the way, that's really what separates the heavenly from the earthly. Heavenly things from God are eternal and unchanging. Things we deal with on this planet are temporary. You think about it. You know, we worry about our looks. We want to look good. We want to look youthful. We want to look vigorous. We want to have all that. But you understand, we get older. It's just the way of life. We want to have strength. We want to do. Our strength someday will give out. I want to have a great new possession, a car or house or some item that we value. It's wonderful. It's new. We love it. But how long does it last? Because someday, when this life ends, this physical life ends, all that is going to be left behind. You know, there's an old saying, and it kind of shakes our sensibilities, but there are no trailer hitches on the back of hearses. Have you noticed that? Next time, look, okay? They don't pull along all your stuff when you're taken to your quote-unquote final resting place. All that stuff is left behind, and that's just the way it is. Paul says, you know, I came into this world naked, I'm going to leave naked. I didn't bring anything into this world, I'm not going to take anything out. All the stuff is just left out. The same way you come into the world with nothing but needs and bringing nothing with you, and you have others that bless you and provide for you, it's going to be the same way on the other end. So, but these are eternal blessings. They're not going to run out. They're not going to grow cold. They're not going to leave us behind. Let me read this verse one more time. I really want to get this deep set into your mind. May it just start to harden and cement into your thinking. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. One more time, the list comes directly from God. No waiting is required. It's already has past tense. Nothing is held back. Every spiritual blessing. They are spiritual blessings, not physical, and they're eternal blessings because they've come from an eternal God. That's what we need to think on. Those are the greatly blessed realities that we need to think on. And as we go through this book, we're going to get into all those and look at some of these in great, great, great detail. But God wants us to move from the here and now to the eternal. He wants us to focus and get deeper into these eternal realities. Now, I want to go back to the very first part of this verse because this is where we have some responsibility, okay? God's taking all the responsibility for those blessings, but he says, blessed is the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be this God the Father, the Father of us, obviously, as His children and Father of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, what does it mean to be blessed? Blessed or blessed, however you want to say it. Well, that word, we need to understand what it means. In Greek, it is oulogetos. And if you even me saying it, it might give you a hint of what the word really means. It's the Greek origin of the word from which we get the word eulogy. A eulogy in our culture is usually something that's said over a person after a person has left, some person has died, and someone is given the task of eulogizing that person, saying all sorts of things about their life and whatever. And those tend to be and should be very, very personal. The word literally means to speak well of, to eulogize. So when we say, blessed be, we are, not that he's gone, but we are speaking well of God. We are eulogizing him. So this is all, how do we bless God? It comes from our speech. It comes from our mouths. It comes from what we say. And by the way, when we're saying good things about God, there is no end. You know, sometimes a eulogy of somebody may have to be, let's just be honest, sometimes they have to be carefully edited to accentuate the positive, and some of the negative, we're just not going to, you know, anything good to say, leave it there. But God's, the testimony of God's character, the eternal living God, his eternal character is never in question. The only thing you, only things you have to say about him are good and positive and blessed. If we accuse him of wrong, then we are in the wrong in so doing because he is perfect and holy. So what do? We need to bless this God who is. Say good things about this God who is. By the way, is that not what this verse teaches us? Blessed be the God and Father of the Lord Jesus Christ. By definition of these words, he is saying God exists. And there are many people say, how can you know God exists? How can you trust a God that you can't see and hear and interact with? The Bible tells us in Hebrews, they who come to God must believe that he is. Faith is required. It's not optional. We have to take God at his word and believe in him. You say, is that a leap into the darkness? No, it's a leap that's informed by the word of God and the testimony and the record of all this, as Hebrews also says, this great cloud of witnesses of many, just a multitude of people who also believe. But we have to come to this point, we believe. And then he goes on in that verse and says, those who come to God must believe that he is, and he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him, that we pursue after him, that we learn him, that we open this book, and we take what it says on faith. So we worship the God who is. We say something good about the God who is. Let me just say this. Maybe you have a question in your mind. Is this real? Is there really a God? Maybe you're a person that's not become a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to encourage you to put your faith in him. But secondly, it's a God who is worthy. Blessed means to speak well of him, to speak of his worthiness. With God, there's nothing we could say of him that is flattery. Sometimes we might use a little flattery. We might exaggerate somebody's skill or their some attribute of them to try to curry favor with them. But with God, there is no such thing as flattery. It is all true, and it's way beyond anything we can express. So we need to say, how do we do that? Well, I want to just give you three words. We need to say, we need to sing, and we need to savor these blessed things about God, the God who is and the God who is worthy. We need to say often and frequently something good about God. Blessed be God. How about the God who's given us every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus? I mean, start with that. Start with anything you find in this book of Ephesians and the greater Bible, the greater text of the Bible. To say something. Say something to someone else. Say something to your spouse. Say something to your children. Say something to your siblings. Say something to your parents. Say something to your coworkers. Say something to your neighbors. Say something to a stranger. Say something good about him. One of the things I love to post online, to tweet or put on Facebook or even on Instagram, whatever means that you use if you're in those social media settings, is just simply to put a verse. Put a verse of Scripture that says something good about God, something that's praiseworthy about Him, something that's instructive from Him. You'll never go wrong with sharing God's Word. If nothing else, just find a verse to say, to speak, to post, to display. Say. Also, sing. To sing. That we offer our voice. And part of even this online experience, we do some singing and we try to deliver it that way. But just to sing. I'm not much of a singer. Well, God enjoys our heart's attitude, even if we're not the best vocalist. I can't play an instrument. Well, find some recorded music and sing along. Let there be this ongoing melody in our hearts that we sing to Him. Say and sing. And I'll say the last one after I make this last statement. And that is, we need to bless the God who connects with us. Do you see it here in this verse? And we'll see this more clearly, particularly when we get into chapter 2 of this book. In the heavenly places in Christ. You see, Jesus is the connector between God the Father and us. There's one mediator between God and man, the man, Christ Jesus, the only one. Anyone comes to the Father, Jesus says, he has to come by me, he said in John 14:6. So this connection, we need to bless the God who connects us with him, the God who is, the God who is worthy, the God who is connected to us. That he is here, he's with us, he cares for us, he loves, he does give us the physical blessings, but we need to think deeper beyond that into the realm of the spiritual blessings. So I want to just throw the word savor into the equation. Say, sing, and savor. Savor means this internal dialogue that we meditate internally, we think about him. And one of the great things, ways to do that is just by reading his book, his word. Now, in the study of Ephesians going forward, it's going to take us some weeks to get through the book because we're going to go slow and deep. But it takes probably most readers, depending on the rate of reading, most readers could read the 6 chapters of Ephesians in 20 minutes or under. Would you not invest 20 minutes a week over these weeks we spend together to read straight through, uninterrupted, chapters 1 through 6 and become familiar? And then maybe the next time you read it, you can go a little slower, look at some of the verses, do some study on your own. That's fine. But just insert this text into your mind so that we savor this internal dialogue, we savor these great truths of God. Maybe no one else knows we're thinking, and maybe that's very personal in that, and we're just us. Now, you can share and converse with others. That's fine, too. That could be part of savoring. But we do this. We do this. We do this to bless him. So, just one verse, just getting us started, just kind of getting the ball rolling, so to speak. But God has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. It comes directly from God. There's no waiting required, nothing held back. There's spiritual blessings, there are eternal blessings. Focus on those things. And then we seek to bless the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. We do that by saying something good about Him. We say it in public. We say it to others. We say it to people that are around us. We sing. We offer words of worship to Him. When we sing, it's just not for our enjoyment or our entertainment. When we sing to God, it is to bless Him. It is to express something to Him. And the poetry and the melody of singing can do that. But also, we have to understand that as we come before God, that we need to savor in this internal dialogue as we meditate on these words. Well, it is my desire, and I just want to say it, blessed be the name of the Lord, this one who has given us these eternal blessings. May God help us to continue to dive deep into them each and every day of our lives.
Thank you for joining us for this time of worship and study brought to you by Mount Calvary Baptist Church in Charleston, West Virginia. If you are in the Charleston area, we would love for you to worship with us in person. For service times and more information, visit our website, calvarywv.com. Until next time, may His blessing be yours.